Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood here at iconic Soldier Field, where guys, at least in the history books, we got an iconic game today. For the first time since 1921, someone other than the Chicago Bears leads the NFL in all-time franchise wins, and that is now the Green Bay Packers. Maybe more important than the math that they now lead the NFL in all-time franchise wins, math that's more important this year. They go down in draft picks with the win, but they still mathematically stay alive for the playoffs. The fact that the Commanders and Giants tied today, I'm not quite sure if it helps or hurts their chances, but it definitely does make things interesting in the NFC standings. All of that being said, with four games left, you have a bye week, then you go home in primetime against a bad Rams team, but then you welcome the Vikings, welcome the Lions, go on the road to Miami. Is that five games, actually?
Yeah, four games left.
Leaving today, knowing that they are mathematically still in contention, having seen what you saw in this Packers team in their 28-19 win against the Chicago Bears, do you feel any better about these last four games, Ryan? Or is it, this is a bad Bears team, this is what needed to happen?
The season's been over since Detroit, so this team's not going to the playoffs. It's about developing players first and foremost, and then having some fun along the way, right? Because they still got to play. And as we said during the week, in a competitive venue, you have two options. Well, I guess three, since there's ties, right? But you have really two options. You can win or you can lose. You want to win. I think for the fans, it's something cool to, you know, the history that was made and 787 wins, one more than the Bears all time. That I think the fans care about that. And I also think that that's indicative of where this season is, that the fans care about that so much because there's really nothing else. This was supposed to be a Super Bowl season, and now we're talking about history and record books that are really kind of frivolous. But, no, as far as where they go from here, they got four games to play out the string.
Where they go from here, though, as you said, you want to win and have fun while doing it. Spoon, are we going to continue to see this offense sort of turn a corner, thanks in large part to Christian Watson and the butterfly effect he has on the rest of this offense?
Well, you asked, you know, what did we see or what can we expect? And I think we saw a vision of 2023. And we saw Zach Tom, you know, in the lineup without Bakhtiari. That's probably going to happen. Rodgers didn't play his best. They're probably, you know, I think he's probably not going to be back. Watson is the focal point of the team. He is going to be, assuming everything we've seen is legit, I think he's their next special player. And, you know, and we saw the defense, which probably won't be all that much different except for Joe Barry. So you're kind of getting a chance to see what they might look like in 2023 with, you got to imagine Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback and Joe Barry isn't the defensive coordinator.
So you think that's done, huh? You think that
with Rodgers?
Yeah, with Rodgers. That's where you're at?
I kind of do. I mean, I don't know if you heard that little remark he said at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was, it takes two. Is
yeah.
that what he said?
Basically mutual interest, right? Interest from both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
And then, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt today, so, you know, just as they were talking about a deal. So now maybe the 49ers need a quarterback. I'm going off fantasy.
There's no way that happens. There's no way they're giving it to San Francisco.
That's the – well, why not? You know, if you can get something. I mean, next year will be – next year's not a Super Bowl team for them. You know, it's going to be – like when they transitioned to Aaron Rodgers. You know, they had a good year, or they had a lousy year, and then they continued to build. So I don't think they'd have a problem giving them this. I think they'd be like, hey, you want him? he can be your problem now. I'm not seeing enough for them to be drooling over wanting him back. So I think the next four games, unless he just goes lights out, I think they, you know, maybe they're going to decide to go the other direction if they can.
But he has also said, as long as they are mathematically in contention, he wants to still be playing.
Yep.
So you expect to see him against the Rams.
We're going to see him against the Rams. We're going to see him against the Dolphins because they're not going to lose to the Rams. Wow. I can't believe
you wouldn't think so. I didn't think they'd lose at Detroit, so you know.
But with 2 weeks rest, he should be better. So yeah, we're not going to see him unless it's after the Miami game, maybe two games of Jordan Love.
He was asked today, he's been asked this before, but it means more now. He was asked today if the ascension of Christian Watson would factor into his decision to wanting to come back. And you've got to think, too, once you get Romeo Doubs back on the field after the bye week, after he's had plenty of time to rest that ankle, you know, what could this offense be with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs on the field at the same time? We've seen Alan Lazard have a good couple of weeks, you know, kind of get his footing back in this offense. All of that to say, let's talk about Christian Watson, because that could be a guy that would make a quarterback want to stay. Would you think?
Sort of. I don't know if it's enough to make Aaron Rodgers say, you know, make his big, big decision on retiring or not.
To warrant the question being asked.
I suppose. You can't bank on his second year being, you know, his second year might be rough.
Look at Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, exactly. He didn't look this explosive his first year, but you could tell he was going to be a good player. And then it took him 2 years to really become the player he is. And so I wouldn't bank on it. I'm just saying what we've seen of Christian Watson now is remarkable. It's special.
Yeah.
But predicting the future, you know, you can't do that. I honestly, if they could get him to come, I would think they should try to get OBJ to sign for next year, because I don't think he's going to play much of a role this year. And if they want, you know, a number one receiver to go with those other two guys, that wouldn't be a bad.
I think there's no chance, though, that he goes if Jordan Love's the quarterback. No chance of him coming to
Green Bay. That's probably a good bet, yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that when he was asked that question, Aaron Rodgers, the first thing he said was how he left Cal with DeSean Jackson coming in. So, you know, and they had Marshawn Lynch, Aaron Rodgers coming back, and he was a first-round pick. I mean, he wasn't maybe this, but he was a highly touted guy, and then DeSean Jackson –
But also think who he's not going to have. He's probably not going to have Bakhtiari. He's probably not going to have – well, he's not going to have Randall Cobb. He's not going to have Mercedes Lewis. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, those subtractions outweigh Christian Watson, yeah, because he's going to be the old man. And Mason Crosby, he might be gone too. Yeah. So
I think there's definitely something to a sophomore slump. And so you're right. We probably will see a little bit of a downtick from Christian Watson next year. Even if Christian Watson just does what he's been doing relative to what would be expected in the second year, whenever you do better than expected as a rookie, you do worse than expected in your second year because people's expectations have been risen. All of that to say, I do agree. I think there'd be some sort of sophomore slump. But what has stood out, at least today, and some of this, is the Bears' defense and, you know, not having Eddie Jackson, having a lot of younger guys. Even when defenses focus on him and put more guys on him, he's still able to peel away and get separation. That, to me, is what says, like, that's what's special.
Well, you can't adjust the 4-3 speed.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want schematically, cloud coverage. You can shadow over the top of the safety. But at the end of the day, 4-3 speed, I mean, look at the touchdown he had against the Eagles. Two defenders totally have the angle on him. They're in position to make the tackle. No reason why that should have been a touchdown. He just runs past them. 4-3 speed is 4-3 speed, and that's what Christian Watson has. That said, he's not going to have 8 touchdowns every 4 games he plays. He's not going to have 32-plus touchdowns in a season. So this is a hot streak he's on. This is – but, yeah, he's a player. There's no question about that.
Incidentally, guys who've had 8 touchdowns in 4 games, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Wes Chandler, I mean, all just, like, phenomenal. Guys who've had 7 receiving touchdowns, Moss, Calvin Johnson, Jerry Rice. It just
Hall
goes
of Famers.
OBJ. It just goes on and on like that. So, you know, there's something there. There's definitely something there. And they're going to need to get him some help next year. They need a tight end, you know, that's going to be able to stretch the field a little bit. They'll have Dobbs, but they got to keep building, you know.
They could use another receiver.
Yeah. No question. Yeah.
Totally with you there.
To your point, just in this season, and keep in mind Christian Watson was hurt for a decent portion, wide receivers with more total touchdowns than Christian Watson this season: Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs. That's it. That's the list.
Wow.
Not A.J. Brown?
No. Well, maybe after today. We talked so much about the run game opening up the pass game, but when you have a guy like Watson that can stretch the field, how much does that help the run game in return? And we saw that today with A.J. Dillon.
I mean, I've been saying that for 2 months since Washington, when they finally started feeding it to Aaron Jones. I remember the Buffalo game. It's not enough to just only have a running game. I remember last week I asked Adam Sinovich, is it really just that simple? Like, you've got two of your best games in the past 3 games offensively. It coincides with Christian Watson coming on. Is it that simple, just having a perimeter threat? He's like, yeah. It's that simple, because they can run the ball, but no NFL offense in this passing league, with how the rules are, can survive on run alone. You have to be able to have a perimeter playmaker. Now they do. Now they're scoring. Now they've got a guy that you've got the run game going, and you can have a guy on the perimeter break a touchdown from anywhere on the field. That's balance. So, you know, if Christian Watts has been playing like this all season, who knows where the season is, but they finally got their run game going. And it wasn't enough because they needed a perimeter playmaker. And now Christian Watson's that guy. And now they have balance, they have explosion, playmaking, all the things you need for an NFL offense.
I agree that you have to have a deep threat. You know, it really helps your running game. But today, I thought what opened the game up was when Rodgers started hitting his checkdowns and hitting the guys down the middle and just taking what Chicago would give him instead of forcing it. You know, there was some time when you could force it. You know, they needed to try to get Christian Watson deep and open it up, but there were so many times he could have just gotten short gains that would have put him in better down and distance, because Chicago was playing the run like a son of a gun. They were playing hard. They didn't have any guys left, but the guys who were out there were playing their butts off, and they were really shutting down the run in the early going. But once Rodgers could move the chains a little bit, then Dillon got going.
To your point, Aaron Rodgers said that to him, the most important play of the game was the last play of the third quarter, the 3rd and 7.
Yeah.
Little check down to Christian Watson.
That was a
reset going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He went through his progressions. He found something open. It was 4 first down. It wasn't a big splashy play, but it got the drive
down
going.
Right in the zone and high low. It was really a nice play.
And there has been so few of that, so little of that all season.
Then the next play was the pass interference.
Yeah.
On the first play of the fourth quarter.
And then the play after that was, or 2 plays later, was Dillon's 21-yard touchdown run.
Yep.
Which, give Watson some credit. I talked to Aaron Jones about this. Watson ran a jet sweep on Dillon's touchdown. It drew, Jones said it pulled the linebackers to the other side, and he said if Dillon would have had to cut it back, it still would have been open for a touchdown, but it got the defensive end moving. So he had an impact in a lot of different ways today.
We did see more from the run game. I saw a decent bit from A.J. Dillon, more than we've seen in a while. Past 2 weeks, he's had his best 2 weeks of the season. Asked him today what he accounts or what he credits to that production, and he said early set in dad strength. Because he and his wife announced this week they were expecting, and he said the dad strength is already setting in. be also credited a lot to just, again, Watson sort of opening things up. Aaron Jones as well talked a lot about how well they've been able to implement just that outside zone pitch, and the way they run it, they can also run it inside off of the outside, essentially, and that just kind of opens things up. Is this what this offense should have been this whole time?
Well, I don't think it could be this whole time.
Well, it did. It was in some points early this year. I mean, they ran for over 200 yards against New England. Mm-hmm. They ran for over 200 yards against Buffalo.
They didn't have the receiving. They didn't have the receiving talent to support that, though.
Well, you're asking me if they could run the ball, and they could. They were able to run the ball. They just never committed to it. And A.J. Dillon, I think his emergence has to do with opportunity. You know, Aaron Jones got hurt today, and so Dillon was the guy. And, you know, in the cold weather, he's a bear, too, but not a bear, but you know what I mean by that.
Not a Chicago bear.
But he's just needed opportunity. With Aaron Jones there, he doesn't get on the field as much.
I might have misunderstood, too, because when I think of how the offense, if this is how the offense should be the whole time, I think of the balance we're talking about. I think of having a perimeter guy that can end around or be a clutch playmaker in critical moments. That's huge. They haven't had that. Christian Watson was not healthy. His confidence was shot. He needed to have a play go for him and to let his talent shine through, and now that's happened. So, yeah, I mean, when you say how the offense is, that to me, what the Packers' offense is right now is run-oriented but with enough perimeter playmaking talent to be able to hit some plays and not just load the box all the time. You got to respect Christian Watson's speed.
And I was thinking, too, from the point of view of what we kind of have expected Jones and Dillon to be as that 1-2 punch, where Jones can, you know, take the outside and hit the edge, and, you know, you can run Dillon up the middle if you need to or off the tackle, and then balance each other out, which we saw more and more of the past 2 weeks. Speaking of Jones' injury, did talk to him about that in the locker room. He said he can't remember exactly when the shin was first hurt. It was, you know, a couple of games ago. He's kind of been working through it, that he was playing through it today, and then the knee got hit, so it sort of flared up, and that's why he went out. He felt fine, so he came back in, got hit again, went back out. And then after that, he said, you know, I was available if needed, but, you know, just were trying to be precautionary. And then Matt LaFleur essentially said the same thing, that, you know, just felt best for Jones to leave him out, let him not get hurt again, but that if they needed to run a two-back set, he could come back in. But, you know, we also saw Patrick Taylor was elevated for this game.
Yeah, with a nice 7-yard run I thought it was A.J. Dillon. I didn't notice it was Taylor.
That it was Taylor?
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, wait, that's Patrick Taylor.
All right. Jones did say that he thinks having the bye week will be helpful, that he should be able to fully recover from this during the bye week and then be ready for the Rams game. So that's positive, having the bye week at this point for Aaron Jones. But Alan Lazard said after he told me the bye week should never be this late again, that that's just not okay. And
thanks, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with him personally because
it's a waste.
I'm tired.
Yeah. It's a waste, yeah. I mean, I know that it works out if you're a playoff team who's had, you know, a potentially playoff team who's had some injuries and, mm-hmm. like, they almost always were under Mike McCarthy, uh-huh. and then they really needed their bye to get healthy. But, you know, you can't bank on that happening. You can't assume that's going to happen. And an
especially
earlier bye
would have helped. Especially with the international game. Yes, yeah, especially having the international game makes a big difference as well. The issue this team has had at times has been a lack of complementary football. We saw three quarters of just kind of what we've seen, the worst of both sides of the ball. And then the offense starts clicking, and you think, is there any way the defense can actually help them out here?
No.
They come up with two big interceptions. But does that – it won the game, but – Jair Alexander gave up two huge gains, one of them on a drive that ended in a touchdown, the other on a drive that ended in a blocked field goal or a missed field goal, whatever we're calling it now. So, you know, sort of got bailed out there. But I think the first big one was to Equanimeous St. Brown, former Packer. Ryan, I know you talked to Alexander after the game, and he almost seemed like baffled that he gave that up. Is that a good word?
He said that in his head, his thought was, man, he's a scrub. That's what he called Equanimeous St. Brown. I just gave that up to a scrub. And he said, hats off to him. He made a good catch. The second one to N'Keal Harry in the fourth quarter, he said that it was lucky, basically. Well, if you look at the play, Jaire Alexander bites on the underneath route. It wasn't even a route. He just bit off the snap. I mean, he just ran to the line of scrimmage off the snap. And N'Keal Harry had about the easiest reception downfield of his entire career. So, we need an entire podcast to go over everything that Jaire Alexander said at his locker room. He only spoke for 6 minutes.
Did he quote any other TLC songs?
No, he said that, what did he compare? He said that making the interception felt like getting a new shirt from Walmart, putting it on for the first time.
Yeah. Not Target, just Walmart. I wonder if he's sponsored.
But he said that he felt like he was a little too zenned out early in the game. He was trying to make big plays too early. And I think what Matt LaFleur said was spot on. He's going to gamble some. And frankly, he got burnt twice gambling, but he also made the pick by gambling because he jumped that ball as good as you're ever going to see a cornerback jump a pass. So it worked out, and it didn't. But Jaire Alexander, he had a rough day, and this has not been his finest season, and it's clearly affected the Packers' defense. At the end of the day, why do they pay him what they did, and why do they, you know, why is he who he is? Because he makes a big play with the game on the line.
That's kind of what he did against the Bears in week two as well. Remember, he gave up a big catch to EQ, and he said afterwards it sort of pissed him off, and then he came back at the end of the game and made an interception.
Yeah.
Did he mention, I think it was on the St. Brown catch, I think they got the play in late because he was going like, you know, what he was looking at Campbell,
yeah.
And the next thing you know, St. Brown's running right by him. So maybe he didn't want to throw somebody under the bus, but I'm guessing that Barry got the call in late or Campbell didn't get the coverage out late because he was just kind of standing looking and then all of a sudden St. Brown's running.
Well, so. That might be. But what he said happened on that play was that he was staring at Justin Fields the entire time and that he bit hard on the out route. And as soon as he did, he was passed.
It did look like he was confused.
I will say,
I don't remember if Brown it was. Run out,
I don't. No, St. Brown. St. Brown ran straight.
He feigned it. He feigned an outside release, and he thought an out route was coming.
Okay.
He thought an out route was coming. That's why he played it the way he did.
There was one of the interceptions where he looked confused beforehand. Maybe it was the Harry
receptions,
one.
Receptions.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one. I think it was the first one, but anyway, I mean. It looked to me like something was wrong. But
the Harry one.
Either way, he should be able to catch up to Equanimeous St. Brown.
The Harry one, he said that he thought he was going to pick it at the line of scrimmage. Like he was thinking pick the entire time. I guess he probably thought he knew
he's
the play.
He's got to stop guessing. You know, that's the best corners don't guess.
No, there's gambling at the right times, and there's guessing, and those are not the same things.
And guessing, you know, it's like having covered Charles Woodson for all those years. I mean, he did guess occasionally, but mostly he saw formations and remembered, you know, if this guy's going in motion, he's coming this way. Then he gambled, you know, but he knew what was coming based on his film study. And I don't know if Alexander does that. I think he's just gambles.
He did, as we said, though, did have the interception that essentially kind of sealed the game for the Packers. And then Keyshawn Nixon picked off another one at the very end when, Bears were down by 9. So, yeah, you know, they would have probably tried to.
A lot of guys in Vegas, a lot of people in Vegas were really.
There were some people upset about that one.
No, what was the line? What was the line on this one?
The line was 6.5 or something.
Oh,
like
nice.
That.
Yeah, because they could have kicked a field goal, got an onside kick.
4.5.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Both the Alexander one, and maybe I need to go back and watch it. The Alexander one looked to me almost just like what he was just like, well, I'm going to get this pick no matter what. Nixon jumped it perfectly. I think that was his first career interception. All of that to say, how much of those were a byproduct of them being in the right place versus players making plays? Here's what I'm getting at. Was this game enough to give Joe Barry some breathing room?
No.
No.
Not even.
Terrible.
The Nixon interception was just a ball that Justin Fields should have never thrown because he didn't have the window. It was.
Yeah, he's just trying to make
there.
A play.
Yeah.
There,
yes. Exactly. I mean, he was in a situation where you have to force those throws for sure. But that was. I mean, Nixon was there, but there was no window to throw that ball. So.
I saw a lot of like mush rush this game. Is that what you need to do against Justin Fields?
Yeah, you do.
For sure.
And they played a lot of zone,
a lot more
which
zone.
They can't play zone. They're just terrible.
Yeah. Right.
They
needed it's like,
to play
I get
zone.
On paper playing that versus Justin Fields, but yeah, do they have the guys to play zone?
And I'm just going to say again, you know, Rasul Douglas got beat on a couple of times, but anytime he's near the ball, he's going to do something.
He's a playmaker.
And put him at safety. You know, where he's near the ball all the time and he can come up and make those kind of strips and things like that. I mean, it's just like this guy could be a really good safety, I think.
I asked him on Friday about that. I don't know if you saw the interview that on Packers.com or on our website either.
No, I didn't get to the video.
And he said, well, if I'm at safety, like, who's at corner? I said, I don't know, I'm Keyshawn. And he said, well, then who's at slot? And I said, Rudy. And I said,
Darnell.
I was like, you know, I'm just playing around with it here. And he's like, no, I mean, because if you move me at safety, you got to move everyone else around. And I just don't know if he was essentially saying it's not worth it.
Well, I mean, everything's working so well. Why would you want to risk moving
right.
guys around?
Don't rock the boat when you're 5-8.
That being said, Darnell Savage was inactive today because of the quote-unquote because of the foot injury. But as we had kind of seen versus the Eagles, he had essentially already kind of been benched and was going to just be put in and dime. Is Rudy Ford who you keep at safety?
For now, right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's their safety. I don't know why they don't. I mean, they're acting like they're in the playoffs. So, oh, my God, we can't throw a Shamar John Charles out there or we can't put Valentine out there.
Can't play Jordan Love.
Yeah. It's like, come on. I mean, really? Are you really that?
What are they?
What if they make the playoffs?
You can't. What if they make the playoffs with John Charles playing the slot or something like that?
What are they gaining from keeping the status quo?
Yeah.
What are they gaining from that? This is the time of the season where every bad football team, and the Packers by record are a bad football team, and there's plenty of company. They're not the only bad football team in the NFL. They have plenty of company there. But every single one, this is the time of the season where you put your young guys in, you develop. It's not about who wins. Now, I understand this is a different type of setting because, well, whatever. You care about the history. It's Bears. It's rivalry. But four games left. You win or lose, develop your young guys. It's not about the record right now. You're not going anywhere.
Why isn't Devontae Wyatt playing more? I mean,
yeah.
The last two games, he's actually been active. Now, I have no idea whether he's in the right gap or, you know, he's doing the right thing. But all I know is he was around Justin Fields a couple times. And last week, he played, from what I could tell, pretty good. And he played 20 snaps last week, and then this week he was hardly on the field.
Well, you can't play Devontae Wyatt because you got Jerron Reed and Dean Lowry.
Yeah.
You can't move Rasul Douglas to safety because you might have to put a young corner there. You can't play Jordan Love because you got to play Aaron Rodgers.
Can't move Rasul Douglas to safety.
This is not the time of year where you are playing veterans and making a playoff push. Put the young guys in.
I'll never forget when I asked – this goes way back, but Ron Wolf, when he first got hired, had to evaluate Lindy and Fonny for the last month he was here. He said he'd go to practice, you know, and watch. And he would say, like, it's like a country club. Nobody's job is ever up for grabs. And he made a suggestion to Lindy and Fonny. They were 4-9 at the time. And he's like, you know, why don't you try playing this guy? And Lindy and Fonny's like, oh, no, we can't. You know, it's like, come on, understand who you are and give some young guys some chances.
That'd be a bold strategy for Green Bay. It doesn't seem to be their MO.
They seem to do it on offense. They don't care about Zach Tom. You know, they give him every opportunity. They gave Samari Toure some opportunity. They gave Christian Watson. I mean,
Zach Tom's a guy that could, I think, even get more opportunity. It's only when someone's injured that he's not that he's able to play. He's played well every time I've seen him, and he's a young guy, a fourth round rookie. Put Zach Tom in. Give him the rest of the season.
Yeah. I don't understand this.
And I mean, as Bakhtiari continues to recover from his appendectomy, then I mean, he has a bye week, but still, you know.
I don't know how long that takes.
I had no idea.
I'm trying to remember how long Joe Burrow was out when he had his at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, that'll be something to look at. Yeah. But I just, to me, that's like the country club. Nobody is in fear of losing their job. And Darnell Savage went, you know, a whole season or mm-hmm. three quarters of a season with no fear of losing his job.
And the top of that list is Joe Barry.
Yeah. There was at one point today where I didn't think he'd make it to the tarmac with a job.
I know.
Well, yeah. When they went field goal, touchdown, fumble, but they were driving for another touchdown, like they what are they doing? They can't keep him employed, and now they finished strong enough that for another week, yeah, I mean. But it was at that point where you can't keep this guy employed.
Yeah.
Well, he's – bottom line, he's not getting fired before the season ends. LaFleur won't do that.
Won't do it.
It's not a good idea, you know, because then coaches who might come here are like, oh, so you're going to panic and fire me in the middle of the year? I'm not coming there. You know, so you have to be kind of careful with how you handle that stuff.
Do you risk losing your players by not doing it?
I think that
in
some ways
they lost them today.
Yeah, I mean, the way they responded, I would say that they haven't lost their players. But through halftime of this game, going back to last week in Philadelphia,
yeah,
it looked like a team that had lost its players.
Right. And if this were Philadelphia or Miami,
yeah,
I could have seen them cashing it in. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew they were in it because of the
right.
It was the Bears. And, you know, then when the offense started to move. But could you see, I mean, Tua and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, what they're going to do to that defense?
Justin Jefferson again?
Yeah. I mean, look out below.
It'll be ugly. As we do get into these final four games, though, like y'all said, you are looking sort of at what 2023 will be. With that in mind, what he's done already, and as he continues to kind of polish up, are these last four games Keyshawn Nixon's chance to, like, completely wrap up his job as a returner and demand they bring him back? Like, because he's on a one-year deal. Right?
I don't know how you couldn't bring him back. You know, he to me would be a pretty priority. I mean, you're not going to pay him $5 million a year, but I have said it a number of times. You want four or five of those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they make your team tough as nails. And I think Rodgers said something about him today, didn't he?
I'm pulling up the quote.
He said that he, for a long time, when a kickoff would go be kicked, he'd hope it'd go in the end zone and just stay in there. Just stay in the end zone. Don't do it. And he's been telling Keyshawn Nixon, take it out. Take it out. He said that Keyshawn Nixon is the type of player that he wishes he's had more of in his career. He's a guy you can go to battle with. And you know, the thing about that, his answer came in a question about the Jaire Alexander interception. He gave platitudes to Jaire Alexander and then quickly pivoted to Keyshawn Nixon because we don't talk a ton about him. I think we do a pretty good job. Packers fans don't talk a ton about him. He's not a well-known guy, but in that locker room, what he has done this season is very much noticed.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't see how you can argue not to bring him back at this point.
No, he's got
to
be.
Because he's technically still raw on the punt return. And we did see them use Randall Cobb today at one point just because of the field position on the punt return. But he's only going to continue to get better, and he certainly does not lack confidence. And then last thing, the field goal block, not block, it looked like a block, maybe not have been a block. How important was that? Because that would have sent the Bears up by two possessions, I believe.
First of all, it was a block. to spoke with Dean Lowry after the game. He said, my left hand is still hurting from the thing because it's cold. Oh. Like, I got a piece of the ball.
Yeah, and the way he celebrated, you don't celebrate if you right. like that. Right. If you
unless,
didn't
your, unless your
ball.
Teammates thought you got it and they start celebrating and then you don't want to be yeah. like, oh, wait, no, I didn't.
So yeah. I got one replay view and thought it missed everything and tweeted that, you know, it looked like at first, but replay shows it didn't. I was wrong. I went up to Dean Lowry. I was like, man, I got that wrong. He's like, yeah, it's his first field goal block of his career. It's a big moment. He was very excited about that.
Yeah, so. Especially with his reputation or his knack for having short arms.
Well,
but he's really good at the line of scrimmage at blocking passes.
He has 16 career defended passes, yeah. which is a lot for a defensive lineman. He's always had that knack of if he doesn't get home on the rush, getting his hands up, using his length. I mean, he might have not the longest arms, but he's tall. Using the length, timing it well, and now he's finally put it together on a block field goal.
Well, guys, I know we're getting ready to head home and into your bye week. Or do y'all have plans for your bye week?
Rest.
Nothing. That should be your plan, is nothing.
I have some plans.
You have plans?
Secret plans.
You said that like, oh, okay, Godfather.
Diabolical.
Very secret plans.
I have family in town ready to get back and see them, and then a Christmas cookie day making on Saturday.
Oh,
very important.
That's fine.
Very important.
I am so looking
activities.
Forward to it. I'm just going to sleep.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We will continue to have a little bit more wrap-up coverage for you here from Chicago, and then we'll have a few things for you this week, so keep your eye out for that. But for the most part, we're going to rest, as are the players, and as should you, before getting back on the grind with a Monday night primetime game and closing out the final four games of this season. Guys, thank you as always. Be safe going home. Enjoy your bye week. Watch a Christmas movie or two. Watch The Holiday again, Ryan. You're going to fall in love with it.
I've seen it once. Don't need to see it again.
Thank you as always. This has been the Green 19 Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
Green 19!
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.